Hi, everybody. There's still a pandemic going on. We went back to phase one, but it is actually July. And it's the last week of July. And that means Comic-Con.
Yay!
And that means that we're doing a Comic-Con episode. Woo! So welcome to Sneaky Geek.
Was season three, technically?
I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
12 seasons. That's what matters.
Boop, 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 boop. Wait, we have an actual theme song. Put it in. Okay, hi everybody. Hi. My name's Bryce Rankins.
And we're back.
And Brian Romero is with me. Say hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
And Nicole is here as well.
Nicole's
say hello, Nicole Jones.
Hi, I'm here.
Your energy is amazing.
Oh, yeah. I thought the waving would be enough. They can't see that.
So this is a podcast. And Nicole is waving with both hands. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a jazz hand scenario.
Yeah.
She's, there they go. Spirit. There they go.
Spirit fingers. Those are spirit fingers. Yeah. Those really are spirit fingers.
She's doing spirit toes.
Oh, shit. Talented.
Okay, calm down. We're moving.
You're spiking the mics right now. Holy shit.
We're moving on. There's too much spirit. Calm down. Actually how to summon a spirit
bomb?
Do we
just need the right hand and the left toes going?
Right hand, left toes.
Oh, that's not bad. Okay.
It's not great. The toes need work. I can do my right foot better.
This is far more entertaining for us than it is for you. All right, so...
Sorry, not sorry.
So everybody has to stay home, because if you haven't heard, there is a disease going around, and it's, like, really bad.
Pretty serious.
It's a pretty, pretty big deal. And it's called the herp.
Sounds bad.
Oh, no, it's terrible. But there's other diseases, too, and those diseases are super infectious, so make sure you wear your masks.
Mm-hmm.
That also means that we can't do gatherings, as we've talked about before in our last episode, sort of. You know, that one where it was like, welcome back, and we were going to start up again, but then life happened because life happens. So, here we are. We are doing the same thing we do every year, and that is talking about Comic-Con.
Yes.
But there's no physical Comic-Con this year.
No.
Because it's Comic-Con at home.
Yeah.
Which is actually kind of cool.
Yeah, I dug it. So, I got a job. Randomly in the middle of all this nonsense.
Yeah, good job.
So then I missed a couple of days of panels, but no big deal because they're on the YouTubes.
They are all on the YouTubes.
So the last couple of days, I've just been like chilling, hanging out, and watching these cool panels going on.
Yeah, and it's been kind of neat because when WonderCon was canceled early on, they like were trying not to cancel it, and they were like, we're going to postpone it. And then it was like, until next year.
Yeah. Till next WonderCon.
And then a couple of people got together and tried doing, you know, like WonderCon at home type stuff. And, you know, they called in or had certain comic shops make videos. I know I made one for a comic shop, you know, for the comic book hideout out here.
Yeah.
And we, you know, there was something like that kind of going on to supplement the absence of WonderCon, which I was pretty sad about. There was a lot. That was early on in the pandemic when it was like, we're not sure how long any of this will last. It's a bummer that we had to miss that. And then suddenly it was like, oh, no, we're going to cancel everything.
We got to cancel everything.
And then...
Like 2020 got canceled, basically.
Yeah, basically. And then they announced that Comic-Con was canceled and Anime Expo was canceled.
Mm-hmm. Star Wars Celebration got pushed back two years. Yeah.
And it's just kind of been... con after con after con shutting down, but somewhere between Josh Gad's Reunited Apart and just the general public Zoom meeting,
I think E3 went that way a little bit.
E3 was all, I mean, we talked about E3 with Nick, but E3 was kind of doomed already. E3 was already in a weird space anyway as far as like what they were planning on doing, because a lot of major developers weren't showing up.
Yeah.
But then developers that, because E3 was like, we're not doing a digital E3. But everybody was like, listen, this is when we announce our stuff, so this is when we're dropping our trailers.
We're going to announce it anyways. Yeah.
And within the next month or so of that happening, I mean, we had Pokemon Direct, which we'll talk about in another episode.
We
had more details about the new Xbox, more details about the PS5, PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything was kind of leaking out anyway, but it wasn't necessarily organized. And I feel like they really missed an opportunity to like host that on the E3 YouTube channel and things like that. But Comic-Con,
even doing it now this weekend.
Yeah. And they could easily have done something.
Yeah, Nintendo usually has a huge...
Oh, yeah, they take a whole room of...
Room in one of the hotels.
Yeah, not the one with Indigo Room, the other
Hyatt,
one.
I think.
Yeah.
That's one of
those. I don't know, one of the two usually has a huge, like, Nintendo, like, go in and play.
Here's some new stuff that we haven't shown you before.
We
played Smash 2 years ago.
You played Smash 2 years ago. I didn't get to play Smash.
I thought we all went in. You, me, and Tate went in.
Didn't we do... We did that on the floor.
It was on the main floor, but they had it there.
Which they also had.
Which they also had. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But, yeah, at Comic-Con, I mean, there's usually a big pull. I'm pushed... I mean, first time I played Mega Man X Legacy Collection was at the Capcom booth. Like, Comic-Con's got a little of everything.
Yeah. They had a Kingdom Hearts...
Yeah! They had Kingdom Hearts 3. And they had the new, like, Final Fantasy, like, arena tournament game that Tate and I were playing, and I kept getting my ass kicked. Tate was doing okay on it, but that doesn't shock anybody.
No. Classic Tate.
Classic Tate. But this, at the beginning of the month, Anime Expo did Anime Expo, like, at home, if you will.
Yeah.
I think they called it AX Lite or something like that.
Okay.
But I got really excited for it because I was like, cool. Anime Expo is pretty affordable. I mean, really, when you're looking at... I mean, Anime Expo used to be like $45, like a day or something. Yeah. Now it's a little bit pricier, but even still, it's no Comic-Con. You know, you're not having to worry about some humongous lottery.
This is my first Comic-Con, so...
Yeah. Yeah, welcome to Comic-Con.
Welcome to Comic-Con.
It's not normally like this.
Yeah, normally there's a San Diego in the area.
I've heard that that exists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. San Diego. It's also known as the whale's vagina, if you hadn't heard.
I thought it was San Diego.
No.
Agree to disagree. No. When in Rome.
Yeah.
anyway.
I had to, it was right there.
I was hoping somebody would. Yeah. Anime Expo did all their panels. Now, granted, Anime Expo also has a lot of the people who would be going to Anime Expo in Japan. So they just were all sitting in a room, you know, far apart because the country handled it well.
Yeah.
Sort of. But...
better than some other people.
But they did a lot of their little, like, they'd get into a room, but they'd all be sitting far apart and they would have kind of a conversation. I watched the panel for The World Ends With You and a couple of other like little anime things that were going on, and it was just kind of tune in and watch. You could watch it live or you could watch it afterwards, and that was that. And it worked. It worked really, really well. And with the, you know, with table reads, like Community did their table read.
Yeah.
And a lot of these other...
They did it in between the con seasons, but it was basically like a nice test, like, hey, how do we...
Yeah, can we make our Zoom meetings public?
Yeah.
And then with Josh Gad's Reunited Apart,
you can see
just how great these panels are. And nobody has to leave home. You don't have to worry about scheduling travel times and hotels and all that. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of ways, I feel like in a lot of ways, some of the panels that we've seen at Comic-Con right now...
Mm-hmm.
are probably fuller than they would have been because they can get everyone. Hey, do you have time to hop on a Zoom call for 2 hours or so? And
of course you do. Because you're
not doing anything.
But not only that, they can schedule like, hey, I'm busy at this time, but I can do this time and schedule around there. And then
they don't have to worry about con schedule.
And then next thing you know, you got Keanu Reeves doing like three separate panels.
Yeah.
Where normally he might be able to do just one in between all the craziness there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that happens at Comic-Con, and they have to get hidden behind the rooms, and there's a lot of cool like behind the scenes tunnels and stuff that they get transferred back and forth, but it's hard to do that. It's hard to go on the floor, especially if you know you're certain celebrities like Keanu Reeves, like everybody's gonna know who he is, and you know I'm sure he's the kind of guy that probably would put on some sort of costume just to try and go to the floor. Like I think Ryan Reynolds did that with Deadpool and...
Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield did that with Spider-Man, which is genius, yeah.
Yeah, he stood up in the crowd dressed as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then he took off his mask.
Mm-hmm.
He also did that short clip of him being like, a lady hands him like $20 and then he takes off his mask and he's like, it's really me. This is why I make my side hustle.
And he like walks over and like sniffs the $20 or whatever too. Like, yes! I know Tom Holland did that at Disneyland too.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. In fact, he was taking pictures with people.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He just was like, oh, I'll go play.
But no, there's a lot of intricate things that go on behind the scenes at Comic-Con that makes it hard for some panels to happen, or even for us common folk that want to go to all the panels, but we can't because there's 10,000 people in the way, or the panels are happening at the same time, or they're happening in the hotel and you have to try and haul ass to get back to,
or they're happening in Hall H and you can't get in there because everyone wants to go see the panel afterwards.
Hall H is
because
a whole different the panel. Mm-hmm.
They don't clear the panel rooms between. So if you want to see, so if you want to see Rick and Morty, the panel,
you got to get there shows before.
You got to do three shows
if
before.
If you can get in three shows before, because everybody else is trying to do the same.
And
but also
camping out.
Yeah. I mean, people camp out 2 days in advance.
Yeah. Last year.
I like this better than that all sounds.
Yeah. 2 years ago, when we snuck into that hotel pool, because we're cool kids.
Yeah.
There were people in the pool that we were hanging out with who did their whole day just sitting,
bouncing around,
watching panels.
Yeah.
And the panels just
around,
they're not bouncing around, but watching everybody else bounce for them.
Yeah. And they said that when one panel would end, they would move one or two rows forward. And
when they said they'd see a space,
people would
just kind of inch.
And they said they inched their way to almost the front.
Yeah.
You don't want to go towards like the front because then you can't see a whole lot depending on the stage and where
they have. No, I think the best seating's kind of where we were for the Clone Wars.
Yeah, we were 3/4 of the way back, but also like not far enough away back where we couldn't see.
I wouldn't even say 3/4. I feel like we were somewhere between like a third and a half.
That's we moved up. We did move up.
We did move up. That's
because
why.
We did the thing where we went to the panel before.
We were very excited about Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm. We cried and everything. Yo, Clone Wars came back.
It might even come back again.
Yeah.
In its own way, yeah.
Yeah. The Bad Batch. But that's a whole another podcast. We'll get to it.
For the uninitiated, when that event happened, we went into, mostly for you, Nicole, we went into the Clone Wars panel because it was a big tribute to Clone Wars.
Yeah, it was like, oh, this is the 10th anniversary or something.
Yeah, it was
like,
oh, thanks, guys. We really appreciate all the love, blah, blah, blah. And then at the very end, they're like, trailer!
We have a cool trailer or a cool video clip
for
you.
We were like, yeah, we got a cool video clip for you. And then it was like Clone Wars saved, and then we cried.
And it was all new footage.
Ugly tears.
With everybody else. We hugged a lot of people.
It was very, very pre-pandemic. Yeah.
Pre-pandemic era. Yeah.
Yeah, in the before four.
The dark time.
Before. There's not a word that sounds like empire.
The Rona.
Before the Rona. No, I don't like it.
I dig it.
Oh, okay. Well, if you like it, then I'll mm-hmm. give it another shot. Yeah. Well, maybe it'll grow on me. Anyway, so now we've seen these like Zoom meetings be
the panels.
I mean, that's essentially what they are. The Lord of the Rings reunited apart.
Oh, the reunited apart kind of stuff.
Ferris Bueller reunited apart. That's essentially they were Comic-Con panels with a great moderator, maybe a guest moderator to ask questions.
Yeah.
And now we have essentially that. And sometimes they're done. And sometimes they're done really, really well.
Yeah.
The one a few days after Saturday, Bill and Ted's Face the Music. That was
great.
That was perfectly done.
That was so good. We'll get to that when we get to our Saturday.
Yeah, that's another podcast. Yeah. But Stay tuned. Even when they're not great, I mean, essentially it's you're just watching a podcast.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I almost prefer it.
It was nice because I could throw it on, and if I needed to go run an errand real quick, I'd just hit the pause button, do my thing, come back, and
there's not much to see. They're not really showing a whole lot of clips or anything, so I actually turned one on while I was driving. I just I plugged it in and I put the audio on and put my phone in the other seat and I just drove and listened to them talk. I mean, I don't understand why this hasn't been just available as an option, because there's so much else to do at Comic-Con other than panels.
Yeah.
And we were talking about that yesterday. Panels can be really tough to go to.
Mm-hmm.
On top of the whole, there's a ton of people or your panels are just too far apart from each other. That's actually happened where I've been at a panel and I wanted to go to another panel immediately afterwards. And there was just no way.
Yeah.
I would have had to run like a mile.
I tried it once and there were the
people.
Yeah, which is a whole nother thing. Yeah. No, I tried one year. We were at the hotel watching the Magicians or the Library, something like that. And then I'm like, I want to go to the Workaholics panel. And it was right before Workaholics really got big. So I figured I might be in the back, but I could probably get in. And sure as shit, it was completely closed off 10 minutes before the panel started. Like, it was completely full. But at the same time, I don't know if it was because people were in for the Workaholics panel or the panel after that who were trying to camp out. Because, again, they don't clear out rooms. So, no, it was really, as bummed as I was, and I complain every year that there's too many people and I can't see everything and it's real expensive and whatever else, like, I still miss it.
But at
the same time, like, it was kind of cool this year, just throw on whatever panel when I felt like it and pause it when I felt like it. And I didn't, yeah.
Dave puts it best. You know, you get out of a con what you put into a con.
Yeah.
If you set up and put in a schedule and go, I'm going to go to these panels and I'm going to do these things, but also be willing to, you know,
go with the flow.
Fudge it and go with the flow a little bit. You will have a good time.
Yeah, you have a good time.
Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, I was desperate to get into that lottery so that I could meet the Steven Universe cast and crew.
Mm-hmm.
And I was super excited about it. Didn't happen. And as I'm walking away, I see Steve Bloom, my favorite voice actor.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, Steve Bloom, without a line. I'm going to go hang out with Steve Bloom for a little bit.
Like, yeah. And there's that thing, too. Like,
I met Kathy and Jimmy on the way out after that.
Magic things happen over there. I got a job interview on the street last year.
Yeah. And that's that aspect of Comic-Con I miss a lot. I miss the, like, weird, like, I can't believe there's a booth for this.
Yeah.
I miss running into people I know.
Randomly.
That's one of the craziest things because, you know, there's thousands of people at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And yet somehow you run into, you know.
Hell, we were talking last night. We ran into each other when we went separately.
Yeah, we went.
Had no communication. We're like, we're going to go to this panel. I'm going to go to this panel. Cool, man. I'll see you like this afternoon. And like an hour later.
Into each other.
Like, oh, hey, buddy.
Oh, hey, cool. You're here. Awesome.
Yeah, where you going now? You want to go there too? Let's go.
Yeah. And that. You know, that, and then, like, the people, you know, you overhear these conversations. It's all industry, you know, like, there's tons of industry people there.
Yeah.
I'm not just in the booth, someone just walking around. I mean, we had our interview with Ming Chen, and immediately after, the guy approached us, and he's like, hey, I built an app.
Comic app.
To look for, like, important key issues in comic books. That sort of thing is gone right now.
Yeah.
And that's really a bummer. It's really sad.
Yeah.
Because, but, you know, I mean, and obviously it has to happen, and I respect why we're in this scenario.
It's important. Yeah.
But it's interesting because when that's been stripped away, all we're really left with are hopefully sales, which I'm not seeing anything online. It'd be cool if, like, some online shops would say, like, hey, it's Comic-Con, so all of our merchandise on the site is, you know, kind of like a Prime Day or one of those Cyber Monday kind of things. That would have been really
nice. I haven't seen too many comic book stores do that. Hint, hint, anybody. Or even just merch websites that have just typical geek stuff. Yeah. Like, I haven't seen a whole lot of sales. Like, yeah, Comic-Con has they moved all their Comic-Con exclusives to their online merch store, which is cool.
Yeah, there's, like, an online... Kevin, Silent Bob.
Silent,
The Iron Bob.
The Iron, character is from Reboot. I need to watch that again. It's great.
But there's a pop. There's a Funko pop, like, a con exclusive.
It's a con exclusive, yeah.
But it's only available online now because there's no con to get it from. Yeah. So that's, you know, that's missing. Artist Alley is missing.
Oh, yeah.
You can Artist see a lot Alley. Of brilliant work. And sometimes you're just walking through and you're like, oh my God, that guy, you know, did... like my favorite arc of this particular storyline, or oh my gosh, that lady is like my favorite voice actor from this particular show. And like, you'll see them have their own little booth. Last WonderCon I went to, like, I met Nichelle Nichols, like, just walked up, met Uhura, and
there was no line, and she was hanging. She was super nice. She was so cool.
She's a sweet lady.
Yeah.
But those sorts of magic moments are obviously going to be absent. And so the only thing we can really have left is panels. And while I'm not normally a panel guy, like, I mean, I try to go to two ish a day. If I don't, you know, I like to do experiences.
Yeah.
You know, I like to hang out at the Marvel booth because, you know, people will come up and there'll be a sort of like a mini panel at their actual booth, or I'll go and I'll pick up all the free crap. You know, sometimes they'll do like a different free thing every day.
Yeah.
And so I'll go and, I mean, sometimes it's something as silly as a button. I'll go try things. I'll go, you know, and obviously I'll try to go buy things as well.
Mm-hmm.
But all that stuff is gone. The only thing there is left is panels.
Yeah.
And in that, you always have to decide which panel you want to go to more. Mm-hmm. Do you want to go to the panel for the show you love? Or do you want to go to the panel that discusses the legal ramifications of Captain Picard violating the Prime Directive? Obviously, you're going to go with, you know, the thing that you, like, love that's current.
But the other one sounds really interesting.
The other one sounds really cool
and
interesting, but you're never going to know what it is if you don't go. And I'm not one of those guys, and I know there are people who do, obviously, but I'm not one of those guys that will take those chances because I paid a lot of money for my con. I would like to get the guaranteed good stuff. I don't take a whole lot of risks except for spending time in booths.
Mm-hmm.
And With this,
you can get up all the things.
I can watch every panel.
Yeah,
I can literally every single panel that's available.
And
right
if
now.
I can't watch it this weekend, I got this next week to throw it on or
yeah,
whatever.
Absolutely, and that is one really generous of Comic-Con to do something that they've never done before. I mean, yeah. Granted, like really generous, but they also just lost a load of money.
Yeah,
and they're still like, hey, you know, we know how to handle some PR stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, they still haven't figured out that nobody really cares about that toucan, but you know they.
Yeah.
But they've just done something really cool by providing, at least for now, mm-hmm. access to all of these panels,
right?
Which are in some ways better than they could be. The yeah. other thing about the panels that I love, no Q&A, mm-hmm. or if there is, it's filtered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I know I've been kind of hogging the mic for a minute, but like. The Steven Universe fandom, bless their hearts, have the worst Q&A you will ever go to.
A lot of them, like, are that bad.
I don't mind the awkward guy who doesn't yeah. quite, like, you know, he's super nervous. That's one thing.
Yeah.
I don't need four different people crying to Rebecca Sugar about how important this show is to her when we're trying to find out whether or not Jasper's going to get redeemed or what the yeah. deal is with Rose Quartz or whatever mystery or like, what's your thought process? Anything that could provide like some good BTS. And instead yeah. those moments are hogged by people going, my son has never gotten along. And I'm like, listen, lady, your story's beautiful. Not right now.
Yeah.
Not right now. And we can cut all of that. Get yeah. rid of it.
Yeah.
And now it's just questions that matter, and it's marvelous.
Yeah,
I love it. I'm so happy. Panels are only 45 minutes right now. Like they're barely
you know,
even
most
an hour.
Panels are in or all the panels are in between that 40 and 45 minute mark.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The questions are curated. Mm-hmm. Some of them are taking questions from like fans. You know, yeah. people tweeted in and said, yeah. "Can you ask this thing?" and that sort of stuff. So that happened in a couple of the panels I watched, but.
The just, moderators have been great too, asking great questions.
The moderators are generally good.
I mean, Kevin Smith, the Bill and Ted.
Oh my gosh,
it was fantastic. It was the best panel I've seen so far this year.
Yeah. Oh, it's been.
I'm still catching up, which I can catch up because everything's on YouTube.
Woo! That picture.
Oh my. Skeletor.
Oh, during the Kevin Smith.
Yeah,
Kevin
yeah,
Smith's own panel.
They released the. We'll get to this in the Saturday panel, but yeah, they released the first image from He-Man. The show that Kevin Smith is working on, which is a continuation from the old cartoon, not a reboot. And it's fantastic. It's
mm-hmm.
great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, with trimming everything down and kind of streamlining a little bit of editing to make things go a little bit smoother, mm-hmm. just a general...
Added fun little visual effects.
Everybody, I think, is a little bit more comfortable because they're yeah. just chilling at their houses.
But it's nice, too, because a lot of these people have also been quarantined in their house. But they also haven't seen a lot of each other since they wrapped shooting 6-7 months ago. So it's really fun seeing their reaction just to talking to people in general, but also talking to like their friends that they spent
really
all this time
hanging out with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and that's something that I think people take for granted is you might get a chance to call your friend, you know, that you're missing, but very rarely are people doing like, hey, let's do a full Zoom call with all the people who used to hang out with me.
Yeah.
You know, you're not getting these big giant group hangouts yeah. happening that often. And you can see that mm-hmm. for sure
yeah.
when they get on. They're like, hey, welcome back.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I miss
like,
you.
Like, oh my God, your beard. Or yeah. you know, stuff like that. Yeah. yeah, obviously it's been bad and good because bad, we're not in San Diego. Or, you know, that just isn't happening. But it's good because we're still getting content. We're still getting fun stuff. And, you know, they're trying their best. And the creatives are trying their best. And it's been really good.
Especially for those of us who couldn't get a ticket this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
Brian and I both missed out on that lottery this year. We tried. I haven't been this like, you know, like on it to make sure that I get a ticket yeah. too.
Because last year we were on it, but not really on it. And then I just scored a random ticket like that Friday. But yeah, like this year me and Tate tried, and I think Tate was the only one that got in.
Did he get in?
Mm-hmm.
I thought none of us did.
Tate did.
Did he get a ticket?
Yep.
Did he buy some?
Buy what?
Did he buy a ticket?
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Tate.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's generally what's going on at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
So let's just dive into Thursday.
Yeah. So we're going to try and do our usual day-to-day. Which has been interesting this year because, again, everything's online, so we can just kind of like...
Yeah, day-to-day is kind of relative.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, day-to-day is relative all the time right now.
Mm-hmm.
What day is it?
Yeah.
Sunday? Is it Sunday?
It is.
It's Sunday.
It is Sunday.
It's Sunday today. Wow.
All day long.
That means tomorrow I do exactly what I did today. Wow. Ryan doesn't know. He has a real job.
Yeah.
He's a real person.
Yeah.
Good job, buddy.
Again, it's weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Thursday's panel... So typically with Thursdays, there's not a whole lot of exciting stuff, but there's a little bit here and there.
You get a lot of reunions.
Yeah.
Not the huge ones, but
right.
Like,
a lot of kids stuff.
Niche stuff.
Yeah.
Kids stuff.
A lot of independent stuff. But this year they kind of spread things out a little bit because they could. But the few main ones that we wanted to look at were the Solar Opposites panel, the Marvel Storyboards panel, Look Inside Marvel 616 on Disney+, and Marvel HQ. So basically Marvel stuff as we usually do, because that's our
shtick. Kind of our shtick.
Yeah. But you said you watched the Solar Opposites panel, right?
I did.
How was that?
It was
because I missed
good.
Everything from Thursday so far. I haven't had a chance to catch up on that stuff yet.
So I actually watched Solar Opposites with Nicole,
mm-hmm.
who I hope's microphone is
picking up. Can you hear me?
I think between the both of our mics,
yeah, hopefully.
Actually, yeah.
Okay.
I'm picking you up pretty good on here. All right. Also, we got a new mic set up because I have a mic.
Yay, two microphones.
Mics.
Three people.
Damn
three
it. Humans.
Mess it up again.
Two mics, sorry. Three humans coming this fall to ABC. he's Mike. He's Michael. They're two mics. They're friends with three humans. Their names are unimportant. So Solar Opposites finished season one, and
I think I'm like halfway through it. And at first I was kind of leery because I'm like, this is just like Rick and Morty, and even like the voice actor is the same guy as mm-hmm. main writers, but like to me it doesn't seem like he changed his voice enough, so I'm like, this is just Rick without being drunk. But like the more I sat down and watched, I'm like, oh, okay, this is different.
No,
okay.
He definitely has a much more like appropriate masculinity in the way he talks,
kind of. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah,
that you don't get in that kind of raspy I've drank my whole
random
life.
Burps here and there.
There is a little bit of the stuttering.
Yeah,
still.
But that seems like that's his style.
Yeah.
Where he allows everybody to just kind of like...
Just enroll them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To make up stuff on the spot. So that's... You get a lot of stuttering in there. So that's what turned me off too. I'm like, this is just Rick and Morty shit. But then I sat down and watched more of it. I'm like, okay, no, this is getting pretty good.
Well, and the same line I kept getting fed when I would talk about Solar Opposites would be, I care more about the people in the wall than I do about the aliens.
Yeah.
And... At first, I was like, yeah, I suppose that's kind of a drawback. But then they kept giving you more and more details about the people in the wall,
yeah.
To the point where there's an entire episode that only takes place inside the wall. And
I really need to watch that one.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, it's oh my gosh, it's so, so good.
That's what I'm hearing.
But it's one of those, like, I don't even know how to, it's just one of those things that is actually really a big part of that story,
mm-hmm.
is Solar Opposites, a large portion of the story, to the point where they get a whole episode of themselves, is about what happens within the wall.
Yeah.
And it's kind of its own drama thing. They composed an entire brand new, like, I want to say it was like it was more than 30 piece orchestra.
Wow. Yeah.
In order to actually do that. And it was the guy who did all the new orchestrations for the new Star Wars.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it was cool. They brought on the whole main cast, which is Justin Roiland, Thomas Middleditch, Sean, I think it's Giambroni, the guy from the Goldbergs.
Oh.
And then Mary Mack, she's as awkward and weird as Jesse, as the voice of Jesse.
She's cute.
Yeah, no, she's
yeah.
No, she's just adorable.
Yeah.
She keeps
yeah.
on like apologizing. She's like, I'm sorry if I'm stepping on anybody's toes, but I just want to say. But they both have these
the
like
same.
He's got this very, like, I don't know. There's just something about his voice that's and his accent that's just very sweet and Midwestern. And hers is very like Wisconsin, like
yeah.
Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You know, okay. I hope I'm not bothering anybody. And that's just like who they are. But they had them and then a couple of the creatives, you know, who did the writing and stuff on
mm-hmm.
it. And they talked about just kind of making the show and what they wanted to do and how they, you know, cast things. And then they immediately jumped into a Q&A, and all their Q&As were, there was like one or two that were read, but most of them were videos that were sent in, which was really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So you still got the audience participation stuff, but it was like really good, you know.
Because they can filter through those. And,
right.
Yeah. Good thing and bad thing, like, oh, they can filter through. But also, oh, they're filtering through. But it sounds like they're still good stuff in there.
But they pulled really good questions, too. You know, these.
I feel like with that crew, they wouldn't filter it in a bad way.
Yeah. No, and they even asked a question that, because I think the moderator, who was a writer for the LA Times, I believe he was the one who did most of the filtering. Oh. So when they got asked the question, they didn't look like they were prepared for it at all.
Cool.
You know, they asked, like, oh, is so-and-so alive? And they were like, well, in the sense that, right, like he's like, oh, very much so, but in the different sense than you, and so that, like, there was still a little bit of, you know, live, you know, live television aspect to it, which is really, really cool, which is, you know, one of the nice things about the panel is you can get somebody who asks some of those difficult questions. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite panel moments ever was when, like, a 13-year-old kid asked Dave Filoni about something being in canon, and Dave was like, aren't you a little young to be asking that sort of question? Like, oh, I expect it from these old guys, but not you. And he's like, I'm a little short to be a stormtrooper. And he's just like, oh my God, who is this kid? But, like, that sort of put you on the spot question can be really, really nice. Like, when somebody asks, you know, Jeff Loeb, what the heck are you doing about the whole snapping? How are you going to handle that one, Jeff? Anyway, but Thomas Middleditch, he's the guy from the Verizon commercials.
Oh.
Little scrawny guy. I mean, he's not that scrawny, but I mean, he's got a very...
Not the Can You Hear Me Now guy.
No.
Oh, okay.
This little guy. Yeah, everybody just look up.
This is a podcast, and Bryce just looked up his picture. Yeah.
He was in Godzilla, King of Monsters. But he, I mean, he's been blowing up lately.
Yeah.
But they specifically wanted him on there because Justin Roiland was saying, they wanted me to be Corvo and Terry, and I was like, I mean, I might be able to do some sort of Morty-esque voice to balance the Corvo thing, but then I'm just stretching myself so thin. Because he's also making a video game right now, too.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, I already am
between
really
two shows
stretching the...
And, like, between the both shows, like, he's probably doing, like, 10 characters.
Yeah, I mean, at least.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and they do, that's, you know, that's one of those things that he does a lot. Like, he's one of those people that just winds up playing a bunch of characters within his own show. But they wrote a lot of parts specifically for various actors that they really wanted in there. There's a character named Tim Weekly. He's played by Andrew Daly.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
They named him Tim Weekly.
Yeah.
Alfred Molina is the Duke. And he was the one who played the devil in Rick and Morty, and they were like, no, we're getting him back.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to write this story, and we're just going to beg him until he says yes. So there's a lot of characters like that that, you know, they knew already from working with before, and then there's other characters that they met at, like, a comedy thing or something, and they were like, hey, you ever thought about doing a character? And they're like, yeah, no, that's exactly what I want to do, and I will.
Like, good, because we already wrote you a part.
Yeah, put me in. I've already been developing a character. So, you know, there was a lot of that, a lot of really cool BTS of, like, stuff that they threw in that they weren't sure if people noticed.
Oh, nice.
Turns out the creators love submarines and submarine movies.
That is going to come up, and that's all I want to say about that. All
right.
They were like, I think everyone was too busy being emotional to notice that we made this really dumb submarine reference. But, we did.
It was there.
You know, and then there wasn't a lot of cast conversation per se until towards the end. Then they all started kind of razzing on each other, and it was really good. But you could tell this is a cast that really likes what they do.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they talked about, is this a sitcom? Is this not a sitcom? It's very serial. But it's also still, like, they make up at the end of the episode every time. Yeah. You know, there's still, like, everything has to go back to normal at the end of each episode kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was cool. It was a really cool deep dive. And they asked a lot of questions amongst each other as well as the moderator that specifically were about, like, process, which I, you know, you have such an opportunity there to just have them all riff on each other and talk cast and what it's like to be a cast and what it's like to record and all that. But instead they were like, here's how we kind of came to make this show. And here's how we kind of came up with these ideas and how they developed and, in a way that I don't necessarily see in a lot of panels that I go to.
Yeah.
Of the few that I do, you know, or wind up watching because of, you know, Joe Schmo, who happened to secretly record it and then throw it on the internet before it gets taken down.
Yeah.
Thanks, Daily Motion. Today's episode is brought to you by Illegal Videos on Daily Motion. Just kidding. Just kidding, everybody. Pay for stuff, I guess. So that was Solar Opposites. That was basically what that one was. And then after that, we watched Marvel Storyboards, which is basically Joe Quesada hanging out with famous and talented people. Mm-hmm. And I'm not entirely, like, it sounds like, oh, so it's like a Hoda?
Yeah.
Like segment?
Didn't he say it was more like a continuation of his Cup of Joe segment that he used to
do?
So Joe Quesada used to do, and I mean technically still does, we're not on con mode right now, but he loved Stan's Soapbox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there were a couple of really like very important Stan soapboxes to him, and he talked about, you know, those sorts of things. Yeah, so when he became editor-in-chief for a while, he kind of wanted that same sort of thing. And then he started doing a panel where he would just kind of bring people in. And that's how kind of Cup of Joe started. And
that was one of my go-to panels.
Oh, really?
At Comic-Con and WonderCon.
Really? Mm-hmm. Tell me more. I want to know. I don't know much about this thing.
Yeah, so he would just basically go on. So usually Marvel would do their next big thing. Which is kind of like, hey, here's what we have coming up.
Event-wise
or line-wise, new books. And it was a little bit similar, but then he would do his Cup of Joe, and he'd bring out random people. And one year, Stan Lee came out, or was supposed to come out, but, like, he got lost in the crowd, and they lost track of time, and, like, him and his crew couldn't get up, so they were, like, 20 minutes late. But then he finally showed up, and you hear this huge story from Stan Lee about how he, like, oh, we lost track of time, and, you know, all this stuff. So it was pretty funny, but
there
was
a lot of fans, we took a lot of pictures.
Yeah. So, like, he would bring just random people on, like, Stan Lee, and then just writers, and they'd talk about sometimes upcoming books, but a lot of times it'd be like, oh, we did this in the past, or we'd have, like, here's all the current Spider people writers, and here's how we got into the biz, or here's how we got into Spider-Man, or just stuff like that. So it was kind
personal.
So it was pretty fun.
He talked about how sometimes he'd, you know, bring in people who were much more like, I don't know, like orbital, you know, around the actual industry, not so deeply entrenched, but like, oh, this person did this and this, or this person just loves comics because of X, Y, and Z. And that was something he talked about also, is that, you know, you get a hold of some of these people and they are, you know, they're your Wednesday warrior, you know, they're going in every single week. And he was talking about some of the people he meets with in his new show, the Marvel Storyboards. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, there's some of these guys that you're like, oh yeah, you like comics, that's really cool. And then he's like, no, you like, you got a pull list, you got a shop, and like, you go in every week. And he's like, I'm not gonna name their shop because I don't want to, you know, ruin their ability to go to the comic store, but like, this is, you know, that's, this is sort of the group of people he was hanging out with. And some of them, you know, like, you get the woman who plays Yo-Yo, or Hugh Jackman. Mm-hmm. And then other times it's like professional figure skater, or the guy who wrote Frozen's music, the guy who wrote Let It Go, and they write a song about one of those, you know, picture taking perform, like, street performers that like dresses up as superheroes, and it's about like pudgy Spider-Man.
That's awesome.
But it's just kind of him hanging out and doing that sort of thing. And one of the things he said he really liked about Cup of Joe was that you could ask anything.
Yeah. So a lot of it was like, half of it was Q&As.
Yeah.
Whereas Marvel's next big thing, it was probably 3/4. Here's what our content is, and here's 10 minutes of Q&As. But Cup of Joe, was a lot of it was half of it. Like, a solid chunk was all Q&As.
Yeah, and he said he really liked that, because you could get some really deep questions of, like, why are you doing this?
Because,
like,
everybody knows that's where you go to ask those questions.
Yeah, and he would have to field some pretty tough questions here and there, apparently. I mean, that's what he was talking about.
Yeah.
And this new series, Marvel Storyboards, is actually just more of that, but him going on, like, he goes with a mountaineer and he goes hiking up to a mountain and he totally eats shit and falls on his face. And I noticed something in this panel that has been really present in a lot of the other panels we've watched. You don't see it so much in, like, Marvel Rising or the little, you know, the kids animation ones or anything, but like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and how hard they razz on each other, how they're all like constantly giving each other grief. Joe Quesada and Steve, the moderator guy, it was just two of them, constantly giving each other shit the entire time, talking about how he watched him fall on his face. 100 times because it was just so entertaining to him.
Yeah.
And it's I started to kind of realize that I feel like him trying to do high kicks with Yo-Yo.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that the higher ups at Marvel have a very your family kind of way of showing affection.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's just a lot of razzing back
and forth. A lot of shit giving. But again, if they give you the shit, that means they like you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as long as they don't take it too far, make it super awkward for everybody else, then you know we're here for it.
Yeah.
Jeff Loeb.
That's a whole other podcast. We've done that podcast. WonderCon 2 years ago. Look it up. Check it out.
WonderCon 2 years ago. WonderCon 3 years ago. WonderCon, anytime we go to an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel.
Shows up, yeah.
But yeah, the general vibe of the panel, it barely is that, but the back and forth interview of what's coming with Marvel Storyboards is that it's just kind of jokes out of pound around with industry professionals. It's not on Disney Plus. It's on, I think it's on the Marvel website. I think it's on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Let me double check.
Like YouTube hosts it, but it's on the Marvel website.
I believe so. Yeah. I can double check real quick just to be.
Yeah. It's kind of similar to how the Legends of the Hidden Jedi Temple is. Which, you know, if you guys haven't watched that,
that's another episode.
That's a whole nother episode, but it's great. Go check it out. So that way you'll be caught up.
Yeah, Marvel Storyboards is on Marvel Entertainment's YouTube channel.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Orange Team.
I'm all pro Orange Team when the Orange Team is cool.
Yeah.
There have been some times when the Orange Team wasn't as cool.
That's true.
Yeah. But for those of you who have not been enjoying
Jedi Temple Challenge on the YouTubes, it's basically Legends of the Hidden Temple from Nickelodeon and Global Guts mixed with Star Wars.
And hosted by Ahmed Best.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's a Jedi Master?
And there's, a sassy droid.
Oh, there's... Yeah, the sassy droid. Yeah, two sassy droids.
One very sassy droid.
Yeah. Go check it out. That way, when you join us on the podcast that we do about it, you'll be caught up. It'll be great.
Good times. Anyway, so those are the two panels that I watched from Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a couple on Friday also, but we'll get to that. That's a whole other podcast. Yeah. But I didn't end up watching the 616. I don't know anything about what it is.
Yeah, I guess it's... The only thing I've heard about it is it's supposed to be kind of a documentary series, possibly. But they have different directors coming in to do the different episodes. But that's all I heard about it, or know about it.
Yeah, it's a documentary series. It's supposed to be coming out this year. It's 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that at the panel, I think G. Willow Wilson was supposed to have been there.
It says here, Gillian Jacobs, Paul Scheer, they directed a few episodes.
And that one will be on Disney Plus.
That one is on Disney Plus, yeah, yeah. But it's from the Comic-Con website, explores how Marvel's rich legacy of stories, characters, and creators exist within world outside the window, your window. Each documentary, helmed by a unique filmmaker, explores the intersections of storytelling, pop culture, and fandom within the Marvel universe. Sounds interesting.
Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll check that panel out later.
Yeah, we'll probably watch it later because we can.
Because we can.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And then the last panel that you had written down was another Marvel panel.
Marvel HQ.
Which was Marvel HQ. And I don't know anything. Is that specifically?
So there's comics read along, epic Lego battle, behind the scenes look at animated series. You get to learn how to draw. This episode is Venom. But yeah, it's just kind of a family friendly Marvel thing that parents and kids could put on and both enjoy and have a good time with.
Do it at home.
Yeah.
Which is really nice. Just and just like Comic-Con, Marvel has also lost out on a lot of sales. I mean, we're talking pushing back movies.
Yeah.
That's a huge moneymaker for them. We're talking all the, stuff going on with sales at Disney.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big hit for them. And I'm going to mind you, they're owned by the Mouse for sure. And the Mouse makes plenty of money. But right now, there's not a lot of ways for these entertainment companies to make money. And Marvel stopped making comics for 3 months.
Yeah.
And then when they finally rolled out, they still are kind of doing it a little bit slow.
Yeah.
Which I genuinely appreciate. I mean, I get it. Yes, a lot of these people can work from home. But with everything that's going on, it's a little hard to keep that focus anyway.
Yeah.
And then to have to do that also in a completely new environment from where you're normally working. Some of these artists do not work at home. They have an office. They go to a place to go do these things. You know, I mean, I don't like even studying at home. I like to be in a group much the same way I like to be at the gym.
Yeah.
And something that I had a lot of conversations about in this last semester with my professor was, despite the fact that there are all these opportunities to make sure you get these things done,
it's really hard.
Yeah.
You're not
given
same,
everything that's going on right now and why you're at home. Mindset. Yeah, mindset's mm-hmm. off.
Big time.
So it's really cool that Marvel has like pushed these ways to have a good time at home, and yeah, they're pushing their brand, and you know, at the end of the day, they're trying to keep their company alive.
Yeah.
But they also have a genuine appreciation for their fans. Marvel treats its fans pretty damn well.
Yeah.
Especially at the con.
Yeah.
I mean, they, that booth
all sorts of giveaways, and it's always busy.
Constantly, signatures. Like, if you do something for Marvel and you want to, and you have a signature booth or anything like that, most of the time, you're not going to have to go make your own booth. Marvel will find a place for you in there. And you know, I've got autographs. I've met.
Yeah.
I met the entire like creative team for like design of stuff. You know, I was talking, and you can ask them, you know, you only got a couple of seconds with them or whatever, but you can ask like, hey, what's the best thing you worked on? And you know, they're like, oh, the, you know, such and such empire from Guardians 2, you know, like that was my baby.
Yeah.
And you have this little quick moment of just like, they get to tell you exactly what they work on and what they're excited about. And Marvel provides that. And I really appreciate that about them, is I feel like their booth is so just personal.
There's some give back.
There's definitely. There's a definite appreciation. And that really comes from the, you know, it comes from how much love you got from the Stan and Jack show way back in the day. And that was the soapbox that Quesada was talking about, was the soapbox where Stan explained why and where Jack was going, because Jack was leaving.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He went over to DC.
Yeah, because Jack left to go to DC.
It's Jack Kirby, by the way.
Jack Kirby went to go write and do work for DC. And Stan explained, like, listen, you know, Jack Kirby's leaving, and we wish him all the best to go do his new thing and go, you know, create all the new gods, do all that crazy cool shit that he did. But we still have these people and these people and these people. Yeah. And he like just kind of showcased the talent that Marvel had curated.
Yeah.
And it was sort of this like, hey, I'm here to reassure you it's going to be okay. I'm not just going to rely on my IP to handle it. Mm-hmm. And much in the same way, like, Marvel's got it. If Marvel does nothing for the next 6 months, doesn't do jack shit, and then goes, hey, we got Black Widow out now, come see it, everyone's going to go, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet, they're like, here's, you know, draw from home thing.
Yeah.
Here's Joe being a jackass with a bunch of random celebrities, etc.
Yeah.
You know, and in that regard, I really appreciate it. And maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, but you know what? It is delicious Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm. Tasty.
Super, super tasty. Flavor-Aid, but okay. Originally, it was Flavor-Aid, but you know what? I'm going to avoid Flavor-Aid, given what happened.
Understandable.
Whole different podcast.
Please not. That's a whole. That is literally. That's not even a whole different like podcast in the way we mean it, which we mean episode. I do love cults, but I don't have a cult podcast.
No.
No.
I'm sure they're out there.
Yes, oh, there's cult. I guarantee you there's cult podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
If you have any good cult podcasts, be sure to recommend them to everybody. That's Thursday.
Yeah, that was Thursday, and kind of the general con breakdown for this year.
You know what's great
so far?
We're 4 days into this con, and my legs aren't tired.
Oh, yeah.
Every step I've taken has been regulation 31 approximate inches, according to my Fitbit. And that is much better than the 12 inches at a time that you do when you do the ZombieCon shuffle.
Yeah. Because there's so many damn people.
So many damn people. I've also not received a single free item.
Unfortunately.
No buttons, no lanyards.
Yeah.
I also have not smelled anybody's BO but my own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's, always
pros,
a good thing.
Yeah.
Pros, cons. I think we made that pun in an earlier episode.
Did we? I made it again. There you go.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Welcome. Like Nicole, how are you enjoying your very first con?
I'm enjoying it. Mm-hmm. I haven't been jostled. I can see over the crowds.
Oh, yeah.
So that's nice. Being
so this is a podcast, and Nicole is 5 feet tall.
Yeah. Super short.
Carry on.
I've enjoyed all the panels. They're very well done. I, as someone who doesn't like a bunch of screaming people in a crowd asking questions that I can't hear the answers to,
or half the time you can't hear the question, so you get the answer.
Well, the question, then you get mics. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's...
Most of the time,
only sometimes except, you hear them over the rest of the crowd, though.
Well, like, we tried to be quiet.
Yeah.
We were fairly well-behaved.
Yeah. They didn't learn how to, you know, project. Not upchuck. That was a different sound. I apologize for that. Anyway.
You watched two panels I watched. Was there anything else from the Solar Opposites panel that I didn't mention that you felt like was really worth a
I think you pretty much covered everything. Talked for quite some time.
God damn it. How about for the other one?
Yeah. Same answer. Second verse, same as the first.
A whole lot louder and a whole lot worse. Yeah, so that's okay. So those are the panels I went to. I mean, Friday's was a little bit different. It's interesting because I could not remember what day the two other panels came out on, because with everything just kind of being a big pileup on the Comic-Con YouTube page.
Yeah. Like, what do I feel like watching next? Cool, watch that one.
I try to at least look at, like, when was this posted so I can know what day it was
same,
on.
Yeah, same,
yeah. That way I know I don't have to go too far back. But there's a few that I've still missed that I didn't even know were happening.
Yeah.
Like Dragon Prince and things like that. Dragon Prince got renewed for new seasons.
It did?
Full seven seasons.
Yeah, so there are only three right now.
I gotta watch
and
it.
And it ends on such a cliffhanger.
I'm still catching up.
And I'm like digging it, everything, though. They seal up all these little buttons and they're like, oh, by the way.
Here's a huge unbuttoned button.
Here's a huge unbuttoned button. A very inappropriate, just there it is. Just boom, open up. That's the sound effect of something bulging through a button, I suppose.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. This is a children's show. Anyway, Dragon Prince, I was like, I remember the first season started. You and I were watching like one or two episodes, and then you jumped way ahead of me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, God dang it, I thought we were watching that together. Okay.
Yeah. Took too long, I got invested, and then it...
But then it fizzled.
It fizzled because it the way the first season went, it was like it was only half of what should have been the first season. The second season really should have been part of the first season, and where it ended off, it wasn't a huge cliffhanger, but at the same time, it was like that... there's no more for now? Like, what? Why would they split it up like this?
It felt like, oh, we got time. And then the second season's like, oh, I don't know how much time we have. Yeah. And they start kind of rushing a little bit, and then they kind of find their pace toward the end of that season.
Yeah.
And when they do, like, it's a smooth ride for the rest of the show. And it is, I mean, everyone, I think a lot of the actors really grew as voice actors as well. I feel like they really had a lot of good strength in that, and I'm sure we'll talk about this more once I've watched this panel.
Yeah,
but this show goes to some pretty fucked up dark places, pardon my language, and it just drew me in. Like, out of nowhere, I was like, hey Brian, I finished Dragon Prince.
Yeah I was like, oh shoot, and okay, like,
oh, you bypassed me by quite a bit. But it was like a year before I even turned it back on again.
Same.
And it's
as one of the things, like, I really enjoyed it, so I'll get to it whenever I get to it, but it's on my, I put on my list of things to watch on the Netflix.
The voice actor for Sokka is the main character, and he's so good.
And they
do make an occasional Avatar reference and things like that, which is really cool.
Because it's by the same showrunners and creators.
Yeah. But it was, it was just one of those things where it came to an end and I was like, when's the next season? And, you know, Netflix does that. It's official. Another season is coming or whatever. When you open up the thumbnail.
Yeah.
There's been nothing.
There's been nothing. Except,
and I'm like,
until
why
the panel
has
came
there
out,
been nothing?
Until the panel came out, it's like, not only did we... Like,
not only do we plan on finishing this story.
Yeah, we're going to go seven seasons. Like, we're full on, straight up, like, everything, it's greenlit. Because
And the animation only gets better.
The full series is done.
Yeah. Probably will happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has so much of the magic of Avatar.
Yeah.
Not the literal magic, but the, you know, just the charm of Avatar.
The characters, the lessons,
the willingness to treat younger characters with the respect that they are, you know, they are dealing with heavy stuff, and it is just as hard, especially for those who haven't actually, like, been through some of this heavy stuff, and they approach it with a certain degree of realism that I really like.
Yeah,
and that's not something you get in a lot of young adult shows, I feel like.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, that panel was on Friday.
So we'll get back to that on our next episode for sure. Yeah. And beyond that, if you want to watch any of these panels, they are on the Comic-Con YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
You can look up Comic-Con at Home.
Yeah. Or I think IGN's hosting a few of them too. But, like, if you plug in Comic-Con at Home to 2020... Everything's going to show up.
Yeah, everything will show up. Comic-Con at Home 2020.
Or if you check out the website, you can see what panels they had this year, and it'll have links to every single one.
Yeah.
Which is real nice.
Yeah, which is really, really nice. And it is nice because you can throw them on in the background and just kind of listen. It's essentially like listening to a bunch of, you know, brief podcasts.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think I only saw a couple of film clips from the panels I saw.
Bill and Ted basically Bill and just Ted. Cut the trailer up and definitely then just kind of approached
watch, it. Definitely watch the Kevin Smith panel, though.
Yeah.
Because you need to see the visuals.
Yeah, the Kevin Smith moderated Bill and Ted. I mean, the Kevin Smith panel's great, too. Is his usual evening yeah, with Kevin Smith.
That
one's
super important, Saturday. Because otherwise you might miss out on that brilliant, brilliant art of Skeletor.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Great.
It's just, it brought a tear
yeah.
to my eye.
Yeah, I really hope they use that in the show.
Yeah, still, concept art's yeah. not always, doesn't always make it in, but boy, that yeah, one.
It deserves great. Its great.
Chance, you know.
Change the game.
Change the game, for mm-hmm. sure. While still respecting the game.
Well, yeah, still respecting
definite
it.
Respect mm-hmm. for the
yeah.
game.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely grown. Yeah. That picture's so fucking good.
just go check those out, and then we will be back for Friday.
Friday.
Like we do, you know, every year. Back to doing this whole thing again. Remember when we had a podcast?
Barely.
Well, we're going to try to have a podcast.
We're kind of back, as we always say.
We've said it like 3 times, yeah. But this time...
That's probably the same meaning. Well, we'll see. We'll have yeah.
This time, we mean it as much as last time.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
this
we
time,
do.
Maybe we'll do something about it.
But yeah. We got this one.
Here we are. Okay, let's listen to... Let's do false starts for yeah. like 5 minutes.
Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for Friday next.
Yeah. Sneaky Geek is recorded in Garden Grove, California by Bryce Rankins and Brian Romero. Our audio engineers are Bryce Rankins and Brian Romero. Our editors are Bryce Rankins and Brian Romero. And our special guest today was Nicole Jones. Thank you very much, Nicole Jones. Our theme song is written and recorded by Skylar Johnson. You can find us online at Sneaky Geek Podcast on Instagram, at Sneaky Geek Pod on Twitter, and look up Sneaky Geek Podcast on Facebook. We also are available on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. That's right, we just got onto Spotify today, actually, at the time of recording this. Anyway, that was our show for today. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll see you next week. Hi, everybody. Comic-Con is at home. There's still a pandemic on. Something.
Bubonic plague? That's a thing?
Bubonic plague's always been a thing. It never went away.
Yeah.
That's upsetting. I did not know that.
It's in squirrels in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that.
It's funny because, every couple years, there'll be, a slow news day, and then someone will be like, someone got the bubonic plague!
Oh,
and
no.
People are like, it's
one
a thing.
People who are like, oh, God! It's
what?
Back,
yeah. So they did that with, couple weeks ago, they're like, oh, we found a squirrel that has bubonic plague, and I don't know where it was.
There's signs all over the Yosemite Valley
yeah.
that say, don't touch the squirrels. They're known to carry the plague.
Yeah.
I've never been there except last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't see any plague squirrel signs.
So, yeah, I was just thinking how to open this thing, and I was going to try to go back to that old format we were on.
Oh, we opened it so good.
It's all wide open.
I was thinking something, and I was trying to think of what current events were going on. And I was thinking...
There's not a lot of current events going on right now.
I was thinking,
it's the same stuff that's been happening for...
Hi, everybody.
Except Comic-Con at home.
Hi,
everybody. It's,
we're
back
right
at phase one again.
July.
Numbers are still rising, but it's the end of July.
It's not March. Crap.
But it's the end of July... And that means Comic-Con, normally.
Kind of.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to see what
you
I
did
can
it.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah. Oh, you're actually
I'm
doing
I'm trying.
It. We don't need to. We already did it.
No,
we
that's
up.
Terrible.
We opened up.
No, it's sloppy and gross.
But it's a lot better than, hi, everybody.
We open the same way every time. Consistency is good.
It's boring.
Hi, everybody. No, I'm not going, hi, everybody. My name's Bryce Rankins, and you're listening... The Sneaky Geek right now. We're putting this at the end of the episode. We're going to intro this right, and it's going to be something like, hi, everybody.
I like the energy. Keep it up.
Yes. Yeah, if I can just bring it back. I just got to wait.
Bring it up. I don't know what just happened.
Okay. Hi,
Hi, everybody. My name is
Brian. This is what happens when we don't go to Comic-Con.
This is what happens. We're losing our minds. We're going to just, let's just throw all of this cap at the end, and we'll jump that on, and everyone can be like, wow, that's how long it takes. How long does it take to start a podcast? Well,
it depends on
that doesn't include the other 20 minutes we just did.
Yeah. Let's also have Bryce's rant about nepotistic. He's a nepotismesmer. He only uses magic from his family. No, about the weird insular.
You Googleizer.
Left a good you googly. No, that's those.
That was a King Kai.
King Kai.
If no one's
going
seen...
to live on. Today is our Independence Day.
Yeah.
Screw you, aliens.
If no one's seen the Dragon Ball Z voice actors do the movie quotes, they're fantastic. We watched those last night and last, well, I watched them last weekend too, but you guys
was it last been. Night? 2 nights ago?
Two nights?
I don't know.
Last night.
Two, no, last two night nights. The whiteboard session.
It was 2 nights ago. All the days blend. All these days are, again.
Everything blends
again,
together.
What is time?
Yeah.
What is time?
What even is that?
Ugh.